Venezuela after the referendum. The voting is over in Venezuela, and the U.S.-supported right wing lost badly. Over 60% of Venezuelans voted to keep President Hugo Chavez in power, despite the opposition of the wealthiest segments of Venezuelan society. Venezuelan society is one of extreme contrasts of rich and poor. 67% of Venezuelans live in poverty. 35% live in extreme poverty. The opposition to Chavez came from those like owners and managers of Coca-Cola, where workers were intimidated and fired for voting against an earlier recall. The main economic supporter of the anti-Chavez movement came from, guess where? Venezuela's subsidiary of Coca-Cola, owned by billionaire Gustavo Cisneros, the guy who also owns the nation's largest TV network, which has been on an anti-Chavez campaign for years. Chavez has enemies among the wealthy because he has supported using Venezuela's vast oil wealth to try and rectify the nation's staggering social problems. Some three-quarters of Venezuelans are unemployed or work on the margins in the informal economy. Among the very wealthy, the resources of the nation should be privatized and sent along the usual routes north. They're not social resources, but private ones to be owned and sold, they think. They deeply oppose Chavez's plan to share the wealth. What Chavez is trying to do is deepen a kind of social revolution among the poor, using the name and nationalist spirit of the greatest Venezuelan of them all, Simón Bolívar, to rally and mobilize Venezuelans for Bolivarianismo, a kind of support of the nation against the imperialists to the north. That's why he's being demonized in the Western and corporate media. Prepare for more of it soon. For while the voting may be over, the battle to exploit Venezuela's natural resources ain't. An early American revolutionary, Tom Paine, wrote in his 1791 classic, Rights of Man, about the kinds of guys who stir up conflicts in nations for their own ends. 200 years later, he seemed to be talking about Americans when he wrote, quote, that there are men in all countries who get their living by war or by keeping up the quarrels of nations is as shocking as it is true. But when those who are concerned in the government of a country make it their study to sow discord and cultivate prejudices between nations, it becomes the more unpardonable, unquote. When Paine scribbled these words, he was probably criticizing his birthplace, England. He was always critical of what he saw as imperial arrogance and England's attempts to stir up enmity between America and France. What would this radical writer and anti-imperialist think of the American Empire with its armies in over 120 countries? What would Paine think of the nefarious Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, whose main job seems to be to sow discord among nations? What would this American revolutionary think of the rebirth of Rome on the Potomac? What would he think about an America that tried unsuccessfully to spark a coup in Venezuela several years ago because oil companies and money men didn't want that country to spend its own national wealth on the nation's poor? Would he find in Señor Presidente Chávez and his struggle to empower the poor an enemy or an ally? The U.S. has consistently treated its neighbors in South and Central America like something on the bottom of one's shoe, as something repellent. It has treated them as Rome treated Carthage or Greece or Britain. This is not an America that Paine would recognize or support. In fact, if he were alive, he'd still be a revolutionary, but he'd be determined to oppose this new empire, the empire of wealth and greed, the empire of capital. For Free Speech Radio News, from Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.